You know, it's a word I'm going to talk to you about tonight that unfortunately is not too often seen in our day and age. It's the word respect. Seems we're living in a time where respect is really lost. Children don't respect their parents. Parents don't respect one another. We don't respect the police. We don't respect those who are over us. We're living in a society where people have thrown away respect. Now, our daughter Amy is teaching in an inner city school down in Virginia. And at that school, as she is teaching, she stood there a couple weeks ago and she was talking to one of the children. She said, the child said, I want to go to the bathroom. Amy said, no. And the child said, well, I'm going anyway. These are junior high children. Said, I'm going anyway. And Amy said, well, you can't go. And she said, well, I'm going. And Amy said, I'll turn you into the principal. And she said, I don't care. I'm going anyway. Go ahead, turn me in. If I did that when I was in middle school, when I was growing up, you know what? I was just scared to death to even try thinking about doing that. Because I knew not only would I be in trouble at school, but when I got home and they told my parents, I'd be dead. We used to grow up with a sense of respect. Sometimes you see kids walking across the street, and they know you're coming, they see you coming, and they know you're coming in your car, so they walk slower. Because they have no respect. You know what? And it's not just middle schoolers, it's not just teenagers, but it's adults. And I think we've grown up in a society where we don't respect one another. We've grown up in a society that doesn't teach much about respect. And you know what? It's nothing new. It's really nothing new. We can go all the way back to the Old Testament. We will find out that there is very little respect then. In fact, the incident we're going to look at tonight is an incident, is a part of what we see as Israel travels through the wilderness, what we're calling the wilderness wanderings, where it clearly shows their lack of respect for their leaders. We're going to look at a passage that talks about leadership and how we act or respond towards or how we hold in regard those leaders over us. And as a pastor tonight, it may sound a little bit self-serving, but this is one of the most important events in the Old Testament. In fact, if we were to look at the Bible, the Old Testament, we were to say, what were the three most important events in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament wanderings, what would they be? One would be the giving of the Ten Commandments. The second would be the God providing manna for the Israelites. And the third most important event, equal with the other two, would be the event we're going to look at tonight. So let's begin in Numbers chapter 16 in verse 1. The first thing I would like us to see is this. Don't rebel against God-appointed leaders. When God appoints leaders in our midst, we need to make sure that we do not rebel against those leaders. We're going to look at Korah's rebellion. Now, why don't you notice Korah's accusation against Moses? Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, On, the son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses, with them 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them. The Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" Included in this group are Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Notice also there's 250 leaders of Israel that join together. And they, as a group, come before them and say, look, we are holy like you are. You know, the amazing thing is that people who claim to be holy are not. And people who are really holy never claim to be. I run into all the time people who come to me and say, I'm right with God. I'm a child of God. I'm holy. I'm righteous. And whenever you see someone strongly trying to claim that they are something, usually they are not. But those who are really holy in God's sight, they never claim that, except through Jesus Christ. Come as a group and they say, we're holy. And you know what? Because we are like you, because we are holy, why have you set yourself above us? Their accusation really involves three things. In verse 3 and verse 4 here, they're literally accusing Moses of becoming a dictator. You have set yourselves above us. Not God set you in that position of leadership, but what you have done is to kind of grab yourself and put yourself above us. Down in verse 12 and 13, which we'll look at in a minute, they accuse Moses of bringing them out in the desert to kill them. You know, the only reason we're in this desert is because you wanted to kill us here. And then the third thing they accuse Moses of down in verse 14 is they accuse him of being unable to bring them into the promised land. Now, we looked at that last Sunday night. The Israelites came right to the edge of the promised land, and they were getting ready to go into the promised land, but they were afraid, and they did not trust God. They lacked faith, and God punished them by not allowing them to go into the promised land. It was not Moses' fault. It was their own fault that they did not go in. Moses did not set himself above the Israelites. Moses did not choose leadership for himself. It was God who put him in that position. It was God who put him in the position of leadership in the people of Israel at that time. He didn't choose it for himself. In fact, if you go back to Exodus chapter 3 and 4, which we won't do right now, but if you go back there, you will find that Moses did everything he could to try to not be the leader of Israel. He said he couldn't talk. He said he didn't know what to say. He said that no one would know who was with him, so God needed to give him a sign. He did everything else he could because he did not want to be the leader. This was the choice of God to put him in that position. They come and accuse Moses of these things. And the reality is that what they really needed to do was to simply respect Moses' position of leadership. In fact, throughout the Bible tells us that we need to respect those who are over us. Listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. 1 Samuel 24, 6, he said to them, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the Lord's anointed. The men were telling David to go kill Saul, the political leader of Israel, the king of Israel. Even though Saul was trying to kill David, David said, God forbid that I should do that, even though he's wrong, even though he's trying to kill me. Why? Because God put him in that position. 1 Samuel 26, 9, but David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? In fact, when someone finally did kill Saul, here's what David says in 2 Samuel chapter 1. Were you not afraid to kill the hand, or to lift your hand to kill the Lord's anointed? There's a special thought in the Word of God about the leaders that God chooses and how we relate to them. We need to be very careful how we deal with the Lord's anointed, with God-appointed leaders. Now, the reality is that every Christian has been anointed by God, so we need to be careful how we deal with each other. But there is a sense when someone, when God chooses someone for leadership, we need to especially be careful how we treat them because they are the Lord's anointed. So these people come before God and they say, look, you set yourselves above us. We don't think you should have done that because we're all holy. You are just trying to be a dictator. I find it interesting, even in churches today, when people are not living for God, when people are trying to do the wrong thing, when people don't care about what God has to say, one of the very first things they will accuse a leader of is that they are a dictator. And that's what we see here. Well, I want you to know Moses' response to this accusation. Notice verse 4. When Moses heard this, he fell face down. Remember, Moses was a man of great humility. And he could not believe that they would accuse him of this. He could not believe that they would say that he set himself above them. He just falls face down before God and before them. An act of humility. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, in the morning, the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy. He will have that person come near him. The man he chooses, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers and tomorrow put fire and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far. Moses proposes a very simple test. We'll all bring censers and we'll come before God, and the one that God has shown to be holy, the one that God has chosen to be the leader, God will respond to them and will choose them to come near him. And isn't it interesting that Moses says here that the ones who have gone too far are the Levites. Remember, these are the ones that God had set apart. These are the ones who had come to Moses when the people were sinning against God, and they were the ones first to choose to serve God. But now we find them doing the very wrong thing and rebelling against God and God's chosen leader. So notice verse 8. Moses also said to Korah, now listen, you Levites, isn't it enough for you that God, the God of Israel, has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community and brought you near himself to do the work at the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister them? He has brought you and all your fellow Levites near himself, but now you are trying to get the priesthood too? Isn't it against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together? Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? You know, the Bible says that when we lie to someone, we're really lying to God. Bible here says that when we rebel against God's leaders, we are really rebelling against God. Because when we rebel against the leaders that God has appointed, we are really saying to God, I don't like who you chose. In fact, I think I'm smarter than you, and I think I'm the one who should be the leader. Well, why don't you know that these people who chose to rebel against Moses and Aaron, they compound their rebellion with further rebellion. Verse 12. Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come. Moses said, gather your censers and come. They say, we're not coming. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of land flowing with milk and honey to kill us? Remember, that was the other complaint I mentioned? To kill us in the desert? And now you want to? Now you also want to lord it over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us up into a land flowing with milk and honey or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? No, we will not come. Verse 15, Moses now at this point becomes really, really angry. Then Moses became very angry. and said to the Lord, "Do not accept their offering. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, nor have I wronged any of them." Remember, so far, every time we see someone disobey God, Moses prays for them and asks for the forgiveness. Now, these people do this, and Moses, he doesn't pray for the forgiveness. He says, "God, don't accept anything from them." Verse 16. Moses said to Korah, "You and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow. You and they and Aaron, each man is to take his censer and put incense in it, 250 censers in all, and present it before the Lord. You and Aaron are to present your censers also." So each man took his censer, put fire in it and incense in it, and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to the entire assembly. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Separate yourselves from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once." God, again, because of the disobedience, as we've seen so many times, is ready to wipe out Israel. God is ready to kill every one of them. But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, "O God, God of the spirits of all mankind, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man sins?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Can you imagine this? Do you remember seeing, maybe you've seen a Western movie, and these two guys are getting ready to shoot it out in a bar. So you see them kind of stand like this, and they get their hand on the gun, and they're ready to have this shootout. And what happens? You see everybody moving away from them in that bar because they know bullets are going to fly and I don't want to get shot by accident. So here God says, or Moses makes the argument of Abraham. Remember when Abraham was trying to save Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, "God, will you destroy the cities if there are 40 righteous? If there are 35 righteous? If there are 30 righteous?" Moses says, "Look, God, are you going to kill all of Israel just because of these men?" God says, "Okay, I'm not going to kill them all." And he says to everybody in Israel, "Separate yourselves from those men." I don't know about you, but if I was Korah and Dathan and Abiram, and I hear the voice of God, and God tells everybody around me, "Separate yourselves from them," that's about the time I start to shake. I mean, that's about the time I'm getting a little bit worried. Uh-oh, what have we done here? We're in trouble. Kind of like before when I made everybody sit down and Tommy was left all by himself. He knew something was up. You know, we're in trouble. Every God is separating everybody from us. We're really in trouble here. So all of Israel separates from them. Remember, God is angry over their sin of a lack of respect to their leader. Verse 25. Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed. He warned the assembly, "Move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all their sins." So they moved away from the tents of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrance to their tents. Then Moses said, "This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea." A direct response to their accusation. He says, "I didn't lift myself up above you. This was the decision, the choice of God. If these men die a natural death and experience only what usually happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that all these men have treated the Lord with contempt." As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. These are the men who were involved in this rebellion. So the leaders of these men, the ground opens up and they fall into it and it closes up behind them and they all die. Upon seeing that, all the Israelites are scared to death that it's just going to open up and swallow them all. But remember, it was only these men who had sinned along with their followers. To the other 250 men, God sends fire out from their incense and they all die. They're all burned to death. You might say, why did God do such a thing? Well, it's because God hates sin. And when you rebel against God and when you're disobedient to God, it brings a punishment. It brings a just punishment. And a punishment for sin is an eternity in hell. And the only way to escape that is by trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to save us from that penalty. Punishment for these men is seen here in this passage by what they did. Verse 36 tells, "The Lord said to Moses, then Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to take the censers out of the smoldering remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy. Censers the men who had sinned at the cost of their lives. Hammer the censers into sheets, overlay the altar, for they were presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let them be assigned to the Israelites." So Eleazar the priest collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned up, and he had them hammered out to overlay the altar as the Lord directed him through Moses. This was to remind the Israelites that no one except the descendants of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord. Verse 41 tells us the whole Israelite community grumbled again. Against who? Moses and Aaron. So after they see these very things, what are they doing? They're rebelling again. They're not respecting again their leaders. They grumble once again. Verse 42 tells us they gather in opposition to Moses and Aaron. Then down in verse 46 and following, it says that Moses and Aaron again prayed for the Israelites that they might be forgiven. Here we see an example of what not to do, of the Israelites' failure to respect their leaders. This thought does not not finish in chapter 16. It actually goes into chapter 17. So let me say secondly tonight, don't forget the sign to the rebellious. Don't forget the sign to the rebellious. Numbers chapter 17, verse 1. "Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. Write the name on each of his each man on his staff. And the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name. For there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I will meet you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout. And I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites." So Moses spoke to the Israelites. He tells them everything God had said. Skip down to verse 8. "The next day Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs in the Lord's presence, so all the Israelites, they looked at them, and each man took his own staff. The Lord said to Moses, put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to the grumbling against me so that they will not die. Moses did just as the Lord commanded. Now in verse 12 and 13, the people say, we're going to die. We're lost. Why do they say that? Because they realized by this sign, a sign directly from God, who were the leaders of Israel. They realized by this sign that they had lost and had not given the respect they should have to their leaders. What does that tell us? Who are the leaders that we really should respect like this? Who are the leaders that we need to make sure that we do not rebel against? Think about it for a moment. We have Moses and we have Aaron. Moses is the political leader of Israel, and Aaron is the religious leader of Israel. The Bible makes very clear in the Word of God, especially of these two people, these groups of people, these subjects, that we need to make sure that we respect them. Today it would be pastors, the religious side, pastors and evangelists or missionaries. The Bible tells us the very thing in one of the verses I read, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Respect those who are over you. But it's not just pastors. They would be represented by Aaron, but it's also political leaders, physical leaders of the land, who would be represented by Moses. In our country right now, our country has elected a leader that will be becoming president in January. Now, for Christians, that elected a leader stands against what most Christians believe. Most social and moral things, he does not agree with us. So then you might say, you know what? This guy doesn't agree with us. I'm going to criticize him. I'm going to attack him. I'm not going to respect him. We might say he's not my president. I didn't vote for him. Careful. The Bible says we need to respect our leaders. And we as Christians may not agree with his decisions. And we as Christians may need to speak out on moral issues. But we need to be very careful how we do that. Because he is the leader of our country. Yes, we need to say, look, we disagree on abortion, we disagree on the issue of homosexuality, we disagree on many other moral issues, but in doing that, we need to show respect. If not for the man, for his position. Or else, we would be just like those involved in Korah's rebellion. And God's anger will come down against us. Now, I think this passage especially talks about political leaders and religious leaders. But the principle of this passage applies to every person who might have a leadership position over us. Whether it's a police officer, whether it is a school teacher, whether it is a parent, whoever you might in a position submit to somebody else, you need to show them respect. Whether it is a boss at work, whether it is somebody else, we need to give that person respect. Whether you think they deserve it or not, respect them, or you will be no different than those in Korah's rebellion. So if you walk away from one thought tonight, it's simply this. Respect those who are over you. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, I pray tonight that we will learn this lesson of Korah's rebellion. And Father, may we respect and submit to those who are over us, that we might please you and not anger you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.